Join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word of God. And we're going to be in the book of John, John chapter 5. We're going to be from verse 39 through 47. If you've been with us in the past, you'll realize we've been there, especially around the 39th verse for several weeks. But we've been looking up a lot of other references concerning that. Please, so important that you search the Scripture. Please that you have your Bibles open. I can't stress that enough, to have your Bible open and read along with me while we're doing this. John chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 39 in just a couple of minutes. While you're opening your Bibles, so that you'll have them ready, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. The box number, if you'd like to send us a note, would be box 43, and the zip code is 62341. I do appreciate you listening, and hope that you do know the Lord Jesus. If you do not, please that you come to Jesus this very day as we're proclaiming the Word, and that you would realize and recognize and enjoy the sweet walk with the Lord Jesus. If you do know Jesus, then that's exactly what I want. I want, as I say, to come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. It's so important that you seek out His way and His will for your life and do it His way, not your way. Now that you've had a moment to open your Bibles, I will begin reading John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you that we can come, enjoy these sweet words. And again, as we've read them many times, and we just ask, Lord, that you'll take these words, your words, and touch the hearts of every listener. I ask that they'll take it ever so seriously, not to just listen to my words as I'm proclaiming them, Lord, but they will have their Bibles open. They'll have your Word open. And as we look through some more references and scripture verses today, that they'll turn to them. They'll see them. They'll read them. And they'll know that it's your Word, Father, not mine. I want, Father, for those to listen very carefully. It is so easy to be deceived today. And the reason is because we are ignorant to your word. You have it in this country. It is so available to us, and yet we do not study it. We don't spend time in it. Please, Lord, that you forgive us for that and set us straight today, that we may begin to take very seriously your word and your will. Now, please guide and lead us now as we study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were together last time. I had a verse of Scripture that I was looking for, if you remember. I was looking for it in Matthew. I always go back and take care of these things, or try to anyway. I was looking in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, for a reference concerning Isaiah 61:1. We had read Isaiah 61:1, and I'm going there right now, if you'd please join me. Isaiah 61:1. Now, I'm going to turn, and again, this is, if you haven't been with us before, why, we went through many verses of Scripture concerning search the Scriptures, and we had 44 of them listed here, and as we looked up those 44 verses of Scripture, it was so wonderful to enjoy and to read several of them. We looked up probably 10 or 12, and in that 10 or 12, we were looking at some here very carefully and very closely at the concerning Isaiah 61:1. And as we looked at Isaiah 61:1, I said that that was a reference to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When I turned to Matthew 3:16, it wasn't right. And so I've looked it up now. We're in Luke 4:16 through 21. Isaiah chapter 61 is where we're going to read first, and then we'll look to Luke. Isaiah 61:1. And it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then here's what we find in Luke, the second verse here, Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, if you'll notice, and please keep your hand in Isaiah 61:1 and 2, now turn with me to Luke chapter 4, and as we look at Luke chapter 4, we'll find the reference of the Lord Jesus and what I was speaking of last time we were together. And where I got Matthew chapter 3:16, I don't have any idea. We are going to read a sweet verse out of that area of the Scripture today. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Now, this is a pretty good section here. We're going to read from verse 16 through 21. Listen very carefully. And again, you know how I feel about having at least a couple Bibles around. I have my Bible open to John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, we have looked to Isaiah now in referring and going back to many verses of Scripture that identify the Lord Jesus. You need to see Jesus in all the Scripture. And so it says, testify of me, search the Scripture. Please that you don't miss this wonderful opportunity to do this. And again, in Isaiah 61, we read in the beginning of the second verse, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. But then it goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, I can have that open. I can go to a third Bible now and go to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to begin with. And he came to Nazareth, speaking of the Lord Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he went, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you remember what we just read in verse 1? And the Spirit of the Lord, I'm back, don't let me lose you, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons to them that are bound. That's what Jesus was reading, to set at liberty those that are bruised or bound. And verse 19 now, and I'm back, boy, I'm going to lose you. Luke 4:19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister. Now let's go back to Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped halfway through that verse of Scripture, didn't he? Because you see, he was fulfilling the first half. The second half hasn't happened to this time. It still hasn't happened. Let me clarify that now, look very, very carefully. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at verse, that's in Isaiah 61:2. Look at Luke 4:19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Word for word. You see, the Lord Jesus proclaims his own word. He teaches it very carefully and very clearly. But look what he did in verse 20 of chapter 4 of Luke. Luke 4:20. He closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, they probably knew that verse of Scripture very well, different than you and me. They could probably quote that verse of Scripture. He closed the book, he sat down. The eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then Jesus began to say, it says in verse 21, Luke 4:21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do ye do also here in thy country. Verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And it just continues, the wonderful, precious word of God. Please, that you don't miss, and when Jesus himself quotes this scripture, and as he does many others, but he proclaims to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When did that day begin? That day started when Jesus, when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago, and he proclaims it there. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears as you heard that word that Jesus proclaimed. Oh, my friends, search the scripture. It's wonderful to see that it's all true, it's correct, and we need never to change it, never to move from the truth. But I wanted to clarify that and apologize for last time we were together that I could not find that, and why again I wrote Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, I don't know. But we sure did find it here in Luke 4:16-21. I kind of told you about it last time we were together, but I wanted to finish that up. Now we're going to continue now as we look through these verses of scripture. Look what happens here. It says, search the scriptures. I'm back in John chapter 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, you can study the Word of God, and you can search it. You can look through verses of Scripture. You can memorize them. But if you're not looking for the Lord Jesus in them, you'll miss the life He's talking about, eternal life. And today, that's what the old devil wants. He wants us to miss Jesus. He doesn't care if you go to Bible study. He doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you listen to some liberal preacher or some preacher that has left the truth a little bit. He doesn't care that you do that, because he knows that preacher has lost the power of God. And it's not long that even if he's still proclaiming the name of Jesus, it's not going to be long he's going to stop. And he'll then continue to say, God has done this, and the Lord has done that, and he has delivered us, and the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is wonderful. But you never hear him speak of Jesus, and he never preaches Jesus. And when you preach Jesus, you look to the Word of God, and you find Jesus in the Word of God. And he is in every verse of Scripture. It's so wonderful to look to the Word of God and see how these words are all brought together, that you see and find Jesus. I want you to see Jesus today. I don't want you to be tricked. I don't want you to be deceived. We're commanded to search the Scriptures. You read and study the Scripture. Please read and search and study the Scripture. You know, as we went back into another verse of Scripture last time, and I read it right at the very end. I'm going to read it again for you. You'll find it back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 14 through verse 17. And these are very familiar scripture to you, I believe, if you've studied the Word of God at all. And if it's not familiar, please listen very carefully. And do better than that. Open your Bible to see them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Look how similar that is to the verse 39 in John chapter 5. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." And that's the group. We had 44 of them here. We didn't go through them all, but they clearly, the Word of God testifies. It is God's Word, and God's Word brings you to the Son, brings you to salvation, and brings you to life, eternal life. That's what we find here. And again in verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You have to accept the Lord Jesus. The power is there, the strength is there, God's drawing is there, but until you come by faith to Jesus and are saved, you're still as lost can be. And you're never going to be saved until you come. You come by faith, you come with a broken heart, and you come accepting Jesus as your Savior. But they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What more do you need? And yet we neglect this precious word day after day after day. Please, let's end that today. Let's stop that today. Let's search the Scriptures, that we may find life, and that we may enjoy giving that same great good news to others that are around us, that they too will have real life. That they'll have real life. We need to be acquainted with the Lord Jesus. And He so clearly in the Old Testament, as well as in the New. You can come through, as we said last time, through the book of Leviticus, all the feasts, the tabernacle, all those things clearly, clearly speak. If you study those as things of only history, that's what happened to the Jews. The Jews did the same thing. Israel, the nation of Israel, did the same thing. They missed seeing Jesus, the coming Messiah, in all their offerings, in all their feasts, in the very building of the tabernacle and the courtyard, and what all those things stand for. They missed it. They missed as you come into the courtyard of the tabernacle, and there was the brazen altar. And that brazen altar clearly stands for where the sacrifice is. It is where the sacrifice is offered, but it stands for the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering, which took place on the cross of Calvary. So you see, that's the very first furniture that you have as you come into the courtyard of the tabernacle. Then as you pass by that, and the only way you can pass by that is to come to the cross, to bring an offering, or to have a sacrifice. Something has to be taken care of there. And so you must come by faith to Jesus and accept that perfect sacrifice, take your place. He was the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice for you. He paid the price. That's what you're bringing that offering for. That's what you're bringing that sacrifice for. Because you need something to take care of your sin. And Jesus is the only one. Now you come from that point then on towards the tabernacle. You can't come to a brazen altar or a brazen laver. Brazen laver is something that's full of water. And it's something that you wash. You wash your hands. You wash your feet. We need to be washed by the Word of God. Many times through the Word of God it speaks of the washing of the Word. And we have that beautiful representation as the priests. And you see, when you come by faith to Jesus, according to the Word of God, you become a priest. Now we can move on past the brazen altar, on to the laver, where we can wash. Because as we are in the world, we're filthy with the world. The Word of God needs to wash the world away from us. Yes, we're saved. Yes, our sins are all taken away, but we're still in the old flesh, so we need the washing. Then you go on into the tabernacle itself. Now, in the tabernacle, we have three pieces of furniture in the first room. We have the table of showbread, where we can feed, eat, and we're to feed upon the Word of God. We have the beautiful lampstand, which has the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. We have the light, the bright light that we have. And you see, the oil, as the wick is trimmed properly and the oil is filled properly, we have a bright light. Now that's what we have in Jesus. And that represents the Lord Jesus. And that was the only light that was in this room, was this lampstand. And so it represents the Lord Jesus. Then next in that same room, we have the prayer altar, incense altar. Some call it a prayer altar, but it was an incense altar, and it was a place where you would bring the incense. You would bring the coals from the brazen altar in, and with the incense, then it would give off a beautiful odor into the whole room. You see, outside you have the stench of death and burning because of the offering of the sacrifices, but inside we have the light of the Lord Jesus, the feeding of the Word, and the beautiful time that we have with the incense altar, also known as a prayer altar. Well, we would come to there. Well, then only one can go on to the next room, the Holy of Holies. There's only two rooms in the tabernacle. There's a courtyard and then two rooms. You go into the second room, which is the Holy of Holies, and we have the Ark of the Covenant there. That's where the place that and the mercy seat is up on top of the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God came to meet with the people. Only the high priest could go in. Only with blood. He had to have the blood or he could not enter into the Holy of Holies. Well, it's the same way, dear friend. We cannot meet with God our Father until we have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And some believe today that there's no power and strength in the blood. But you find that all in Exodus and Leviticus, and it's a beautiful study through there. And all that pictures so clearly the Lord Jesus. If you've never studied that, you miss it. The feasts do the same thing. The feasts picture what has taken place and brings Jesus to us. So please study, search the Scripture, search the Word of God. Now, as we have looked here at the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, you know what gain it gives you to search the Scripture? It gives you, it's profitable for doctrine, it's for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It makes you, here's what the Word of God, no college can do this, no doctorate degree, nothing in psychology or psychiatry or any field can prepare you for this life and the life after as this book. That the man of God, this is the 17th verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. I hope you're reading this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Only this book can do that. Search the Scripture, the Word of God tells us. That ye, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Now that's quite a statement here. I'm back in John chapter 5, reading down through verse 42. It says there, I know that ye have not the love of God in you. Now, Jesus knows everything, and so for him to speak to a person, and he knows whether they have come by faith and trusted in him or they have rejected him. Now, I can't do that. I don't know whether a person is truly saved or not. Now, I know by their testimony that they are in fellowship with God and enjoying the fellowship and the worship of God because the Scripture tells us that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, this is the fruit of the Spirit, none other, not the tongues, not the healing, the fruit of the Spirit will be a person that has love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Are you long-suffering? Do you have love, joy, and peace? How about goodness? What's your life like? What's your life like? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what a Christian is made of. And it's not something just on the surface. It's deep. Because it's God-given and God-driven. That's what you should be. And that comes by not leaving the Word of God. We must stay with the truth is the only way that you can be in fellowship and have the fruit of the Spirit, that folks will see and folks will know. So you see, we can see whether they're in fellowship or whether they're not in fellowship. But we do have trouble realizing whether a person's saved or not. Because only themselves, I know I'm saved. God knows I'm saved. He's keeping me. He sealed me with His Holy Spirit. But no one else really knows. Really, truly knows. So you see, we have to preach the gospel clearly. Because only the Word of God will touch your heart and move you to the place where you'll be convicted, and the Scripture tells us that God drags us to Him. Now, we have a choice to stop at any point in time. Many people believe and teach contrary to that. There is no choice. Everyone, whosoever, that doesn't leave anybody out. Many people believe that you lose your salvation. The Word of God tells us clearly that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We come once unto the throne of God, and we come there by the cross of Calvary, and we can come to Him because we're saved. And then we can go continually to the throne of God because we've come by the way of the cross. And we'll always, and we're kept, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's so much taught out there that is false. It's not truth. And many of you people tolerate it. Maybe you don't believe it, but you tolerate it. And when you tolerate false teaching of the Word of God, there is no power there. Decisions that are made, moves to godly living that are made, are all man-made. It's because you have a charismatic preacher or something like that. It's not because of the Word of God. It's not because of a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because without the truth, when you leave the Word of God and you proclaim a false teaching and a false doctrine, you will find, my friend, according to the Word of God, that there will be no power. If there's no power, there's no conviction. If there's no conviction, there's no salvation. Please, my friend, you need to see Jesus clearly. As we move down through these verses of Scripture, follow them carefully with me. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Why not? I have folks here that come, they listen, and they leave, and they reject Jesus. Why? Pride? Why? We're going to get, next time we come together, we're going back to 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to read some verses of Scripture there concerning a word that says delusion. And that delusion is going to become greater and greater all the time. That ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And that's where we're going to begin next time we come together. The one that comes and deceives. Why do you reject Jesus today? Why won't you come to the Lord Jesus today? And why won't you straighten up and stop this nonsense and the false teaching that's there? And you probably don't even know it. You're sitting there, Bible in hand, maybe, probably not. And you're accepting everything that preacher's teaching you. I want everyone here to have their Bible open. I want you to have your Bible open when we're going through the Word of God on this program. I want people to know it's the Word of God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?